All right. Thank you, Nancy. Yes, it is Leif, and it's glad to be here with you. It's probably about a decade or so since I've been here. If you don't know me, I'm actually your mailman here on this route, 965 Union here. So it's good to deliver something on the inside here for once. I'm a part of Life Community Church there in Hillsboro. David Baker is a pastor down there. And yes, really enjoy being down there. I've been there for 6 months now. And if Nancy was referring to that camp, we was just out at Rehoboth Camp doing a cleanup day. And that's why I have this little thing on my hand here, because I'm not used to doing all that manual labor. And it was great to be out there. The response and turnout was just incredible. And so we bless that effort and work, because God's going to use for his glory, and all those people that join in and participate in that. It was great just to set up for the teaching and all the things that's going to happen out there this year as well. So with me in the back, I got my two youngest, Jayla and Uriah, and that is a biblical name. And we had kind of odd names, so it was my turn to name him. And so I thought, well, he gets a little odd name too. And people said, man, why would you name your boy Uriah? You know that story, right? And it's like, well, yeah, David was the bad guy. Uriah was the good one in that story. So we always like to pick different names there, so he got that one. But enough about me. I'm here this morning to talk about the Lord and some of the things that he's done, and not only in my life, but through his word here. And hopefully to encourage you here this morning. Malachi chapter 3, verse 3 is where I'm going to be starting off my launching point from. So if you'll turn there with me. Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. I don't know if you guys put it on the screen here, if you just want me to read. I am going to read from the King James here this morning. So if you wonder where I'm coming from there. And this message is going to be a sanctification message. So when we're saved, come to the knowledge of Christ, that is justification. We come to him, and then we are sanctified. And there's three different kinds of sanctification. You get your positional sanctification, and that is in Christ. That is who we are. We are sanctified in Christ, and then we go through this journey of sanctification, right? And that journey of sanctification is called progressive. And that's where we are during this life. We're just progressing through this life, and God is taking things like a chisel and a hammer, just making us more and more like him into his image, forming us into his image. And a lot of us try to resist those things because they're uncomfortable. But throughout our whole life, you guys probably all have your own story of that progressive sanctification. And ultimately, we will come to perfect sanctification. But we won't reach that here on this earth. That'll be in eternity with him. And so that's where I'm going to be preaching out of here today, some things that have progressed not only in my life here, but through a man's life of named Elijah. But I just want to use this starting point of Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. So if you're with me, say, I'm with you. Yeah. All right, let's open in prayer here. God, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this group of believers. Thank you, God, for all your many blessings. Lord, the sunshine and just the many gifts that we just overlook sometimes. God, we want to be very grateful for the things that you've given us. Sometimes we think that we earned those things, and at times we think we deserve these things. But God, they're all a gift from you. The fact that we can come to you is a gift. The fact that you give us grace is a gift. Grace is a gift from you. Forgiveness is a gift from you. All these things, Lord, it all comes from you, through you, and we give it back to you. Bless this hour that we have here this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. God said he was with me, and it says, "And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord a offering of righteousness." He sits as a refiner. I want you to keep your hand there, because we're going to jump over to 1 Kings chapter 17 and talk a little bit of the story of Elijah this morning. My first boy, he's I never would have imagined I am looking up to him now. I wanted to name him forward guard because I had just prophesied that he was going to be 6'5", and he is. He is 6'5", and one of my very first studies that I ever came across by Charles Swindoll was the book of Elijah, and I loved it so much, I named my first boy Elijah after him. And so here we are today, all these many years later, I'm preaching on the story of Elijah. And we see there in Malachi chapter 3, verse 3, where it says that he sits as a refiner, and what he does with Elijah in this story is what he's doing a lot of times with us in our life, in that sanctification progress. And the title of today's message is The Three W's. And I just want to point out, when God is all that you have, God is all that you need. And sometimes he will take us to the point where God is all that we have. And if we like a little bit of contemporary music, there's a group called We the Kingdom that I came across about 4 years ago. This song got stuck in my mind, and I didn't know why at the time, but it says, if all I had was Christ, I'd have nothing to gain. If all I had was Christ, I'd have everything. And again, going back to that phrase, if God is all that I have, he's all that I need. Because at our time in our lives, we think that we have to have this other stuff in our lives, and actually, Christ is all we need. We're going to see today how he supplies us, how he holds us up, and all these different things. And it's called the three W's is what I wanted to get to. And so it's been a while since I've done a whole lot of ministry things here in my life, but I just wanted to point out, any kind of ministry that we do, ministry is about what? Ministry is about everybody else. It is not about us, our wants, our desires. Ministry is about everybody else. What can the Lord do through us to give to anybody else? And that does not have to be in a church setting, right? This is not the church. When we go out and about, we are the church. We're to take that with us. We take our experiences, we take our knowledge, we take everything with us. We are his temple. And so we are to be the church. The three W's, maybe some of you can relate to this, the wilderness, the waiting, and the warfare. The wilderness, the waiting, and the warfare. And I don't know if I'll get to all three of them here this morning. I doubt that I will. But I will start with the first one, and that is the wilderness. And the old saying, God is either taking you into a valley, he's taking you through a valley, or you're getting ready to go into a valley, right? And we kind of resist and shake off those valleys, but praise the Lord, they're for our sanctification progress. They're for our good. They're for our benefit. If you ever look at a valley and a mountain, where's all the growth? Where's all the growth? It's at the bottom in those valleys, right? In that luscious plains and different things. When we get up on top of that mountain finally, we want to stay there, but there's no growth there. And so the three W's, the wilderness, the waiting, and the warfare. Has anyone been through any of those or currently going through any of those in your life right now? You say, oh man, oh me. I just want to point out in Exodus chapter 7, verse 16, that will give you the answer to this question, but let me ask you a little class participation here this morning. When Moses was leading the Egyptians out of bondage, where was he taking them? Let me hear your answer. Where was Moses leading the Israelites when they was coming out of Egyptian bondage? Where was he taking them? Promised land? Is that what everybody's? What's that? Exodus 7, verse 16 says, "Let my people go, that they may worship me in the desert." In the wilderness. A lot of people said that he was taking them, you know, out of Egypt into the promised land. Well, eventually that was the goal. But God said, I want to take them to the wilderness so they may worship me there. So this is nothing new. We're going to see with the story of Elijah is what he does with him. So God is taking us through, number one, the first W would be the wilderness. Now, what is the wilderness? The Hebrew word for wilderness is called midbar. It's the Midbar. It's the place of breaking. Anyone ever need broken in your life before? Pride puffs us up, right? We're so blinded as a bat, we can't see. Our ears are so hardened, we can't hear. The Bible says, give us ears to hear, right? It's that breaking. God has to take us through that wilderness to break us. Why? Because that's a part of our sanctification process. To take us from who we was, and so he can make us more like God. And sometimes we have to be broken. And so the first W is the wilderness, the Midbar, the breaking. It's a place of quiet. It's a place of isolation. Now, if you're like me, I'm not much of an introvert. I like to be around people. I enjoy fellowship. I enjoy doing fun things. And when God puts me in a wilderness, it's uncomfortable. It's painful. It's not welcomed. Right? It's all these different things that we wouldn't choose on our own for the most part. That's why God has to take us to it. And he removes things from us that we think are good things. Right? Sometimes it's a job. Sometimes it's family. Sometimes it might be children. We think those are good things. They're gifts from God. We think we earn them. We thought we deserved all these things. God, why would you do this to me? But he wants to remove those things from you. Why? Why a wilderness? Because if you think of a wilderness, there's no distractions there. There is no cell phones. There is no whatever. When you're sitting alone by yourself, maybe it's at night, maybe it's in your car, and you just got fired from your job, or maybe you're sitting, you know, in that parking lot or whatever, and you're just alone. There's no distractions around you, because if the enemy can get you so distracted by being lazy and being passive, you're ineffective, right? But you know what else? If he can get you so busy, you're just as ineffective for him. And so God removes all those distractions and he puts you in that wilderness. And if you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17, the story of Elijah. I said, I don't think I'm going to get through all three of these W's here today, so I might do a little speed reading and go a little faster here. But we're going to see how God puts Elijah into a wilderness experience. There is the book of Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, one of the wisest men in the Bible. And he said in chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes that sorrow is better than laughter. Now, I'm a funny guy. I always liked to enjoy, you know, a good laugh and a joke and different things like that. And when I read that, I thought, sorrow is better than laughter? How is that possible, you know? And we don't learn anything in laughter, do we? But it's those times of sorrow that goes in our lives that we actually have to stop, reflect, and learn things. And if anybody tells you, I mean, I've heard this recently, you know, if you come across a guy, maybe a pastor or something someday, and all he is positive, 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 I would caution a red flag there. There's something a little wrong. You know, I enjoy being happy. I enjoy being funny and different things, but even the Bible is not all positive. Someone even said it's 3/4 negative. We sinned. Christ had to die. Christ was buried. And then he resurrected. 3/4 negative. We look at the beginning, God created a perfect creation, and then Adam came along and destroyed it. And then God redeemed him out of the garden, and then we see what happened with his first two sons. And all these things, right? And God said, in this life, you will have trouble. It's not going to be easy. Everything's not going to be positive. Everything's not going to be sunshine and roses, right? But take heart. I've overcome the world. We look at the end of the book, Revelations, right? That old song, I've read the back of the book, and we win. It's all going to work out in the end there. But, you know, school doesn't start out all perfect and great. There's good grades and bad grades. Well, if you're like me, it's pretty much all average grades. Marriage doesn't always start out perfect, you know. Maybe it'll start out perfect, but there's just trials and things in there. Childhood, parenting. you know, you have these ups and downs and hills and valleys, and it's those wilderness times where you just need to stop and reflect. And here's a story this morning of a man named Elijah. And Elijah, it says, was taken to this brook called the Cherith. Right? Now, we've already talked about the wilderness. This is the breaking. Now, God sends Elijah to the brook Cherith. He says, go there. Go there. If we look at this word Cherith, it's a very interesting word. It means the cutting. And we talked about the breaking, and now we're going to talk a little bit about the cutting. The brook Cherith, it's narrow, it's dark, it's cold, and it's lonely. Now, Elijah just made this big prophet, right? There's not going to be any rain, and I'm a prophet of God, you know, until he speaks to me again. You're not going to have any rain. And then God directs him to this brook, Cherith. And it's cold, it's dark, it's isolated. He was probably more of someone that wanted to be around other people as well. And now if you think of this, like this little valley, right? You get, the sun comes up, and you can't see it because you're down in this little slough until it maybe comes up overhead and you get a little bit of sunshine, right? And it's narrow and it's dark and you get a little sunshine and then it goes down quicker than most. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're lonely, you're isolated. He's in the wilderness. And then what happens there when he's in this brook Cherith, it says eventually that brook dried up. God leads him there, and that supplied him, right? The bird fed him every day. He had a water source there of a nice spring every day. And then all of a sudden, what happened? The thing that he depended on dried up. His source dried up. And that's where we're at in those wilderness times, where maybe your job is what you depend on, right, as your source. And God just says, let's just shut that faucet off. Or maybe it's your family. God says, let's shut that source down. Or maybe it's your job, maybe it's X, Y, Z, whatever it is in your life. God shuts that source off for a little bit. Right? Why? Who is our source? Maybe you work for the power company. Who is your source? Is it the power company? No, that's your job. That's what you do. But ultimately, God provides through that job to supply. He is our source. He is the one that gives us, supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory, the Bible says. He is our source, and he wants us to remind us sometimes that breaking, right, that we depend upon him. He don't depend upon us. We are to depend upon him. And that's not a very comfortable thing sometimes, is it? Anyone ever been there? Are you with me this morning? Huh? Are you with me? He wants us to remind us that he is our source. Why? Because when God is all that you have, God is all that you need. And it's a great reminder. And so we have the breaking, we have the cutting, and then what comes next would be, he tells Elijah to get up, because that source dried up, right? And go to where I will tell you, to go to Zarephath. Some of us would never get up and move. We are creatures of habit. We don't like change. We fear change sometimes, right? We would sit there and we would just die there probably if we didn't have to move. But thank God, God is a God that is a forward-moving God. And he reminds us of the past and he says, I want to do something different here. I want to teach you more. I want to sanctify you. And so he tells him, this source is dried up. I want you to get up and I want you to go. And as you go, step of faith, I will lead you. And so sometimes those sources are dried up because he wants to take you somewhere higher. And so I never knew this, but when he's getting up and go, he's on the road. Okay, imagine the road. And the road sometimes can be bumpy. Sometimes the road can be long. Anyone ever been like a truck driver, go to this, you know, maybe drive to Florida, California. You got in your mind, this is going to be great. And you get a flat tire and you can't find a gas station. And you know what I mean? The air conditioning quits working in the car and the kids are screaming in the back. And you know, it's that road. And you're like, I just want to get there. Or sometimes you think, maybe if I just went back, right? Which is what these, what the Israelites said. Can we just go back? That road was just too long for them. But he's on the road and he goes through Samaria. They didn't like him in Samaria. And he had to go through Megiddo. Remember what Megiddo is? That's going to be in the last days here, in the last prophetical times there, Megiddo. And then he finally gets him to Zarephath. Now, Zarephath is interesting because, again, where God guides, he provides. So God guides him to this widow at Zarephath, right? And he gets there and he says, when you get there, you're going to come across this widow and her son. And he gets there and he sees the widow, he sees the son. And guess what? God guides him there, but she don't have hardly any food left. She says, I'm gathering sticks and I have enough food for myself and for my son. And then we're going to eat this last meal and we're going to die. And you're thinking, what are you doing? You know, God, you guided me here. This source dried up on me. Now I'm here and I meet who you tell me to meet. And she's just being selfish. And this is how it's going to be, right? It's on the road, makes it to Zarephath. And, he's off the road and this is where God guides. He will provide. And so there's a little thing that we need when we get to that place, right? Anyone ever been resuscitated? CPR, right? We know what CPR is. Well, can I give you a new CPR today to write down a little acronym here? CPR. C is going to stand for the command. P is going to be for the promise. And R is going to be for the risk. Now, God told Elijah, get up and go. That's the command. And then he gave him the P, the promise. I'm going to provide for you there. Right? And then he had to do what? Take a step of faith, that risk. CPR, command, a promise, and a risk. And so he gets there, he meets the widow, he meets the son, and they say that they don't have very much food left. So what does he do? He gives her that same CPR. Hey, I'm dying here. And he gives her CPR, life. Do you see that? If God never would have taken him into the wilderness, if he never would have put him to the Cherith, if he never would have put him on the road, he never would have led him to CPR. Now, someone that needs life is getting CPR. He gives her a command, he's going to give her a promise, and he's going to ask her to take a risk. And here's the command, I want you to make me a loaf of bread. And here's the promise, if you do, your oil and your flour will never run out. And she's got to do it, take a risk. Do I just take what I want, what I can see for myself and eat this last meal and die? Or am I going to listen? Am I going to get my life, you know, CPR? And she does it. And you know what the Bible says when she does that? As she does that, the oil jar never ran out, never ran dry. And that little thing of flour just continued to come, didn't it? And we see that all through the story. Give God what we have, and he will multiply it. We want to hold on to what we have. I mean, come on, folks. Remember the story of the feeding of the 5,000? You took one little boy's sack lunch, and he said, God, this is all I have. I give it to you, and he multiplied it. You remember that? There was a command. There was a promise. There was a risk. CPR. Zarephath means, are you ready for this? The refining. The refining. Here he comes to Zarephath and it's hot. The pressure's on, right? He's on the road. He comes off that road and he sees that lady and her son. And he's tired. He's hot. He just wants to rest and have a good meal. And now the pressure's on. Has anyone ever been in that position? Where, okay, when I started out here, God put me in this wilderness. I was alone. I was isolated. It was dark. And now I got to the cutting after the breaking. And that cutting, man, the brook dried up and I had to find a new source. And then I got on this road and now I'm to this place where it's hot and the pressure's on and I don't know what to do. And I just want to break out and I just want to go back and I just want it to stop. I just want it to end, right? it's just that another aspect of God. And he tells us to be patient, to be kind, to be gentle, to be trusting, all these things, right? To be faithful. And we're in this place where the pressure is on. And this past year, I took my kids to New Salem State Park. Has anyone ever been there? Like during a field trip day? You go up there, and every time in around October, November, they'll have all the houses lit up, and they'll have characters in all the houses. You guys know what I'm referring to there, New Salem State Park. It's all the houses from like the 1800s and stuff. And one of them, Abraham Lincoln was at, and they got the general store. And there was 3 weekends this year they was having it. And I went by myself. I invited a couple people. No one wanted to go with me. So I said, that's fine. I'm going to go by myself. I went up there, and I walked through, and I heard the stories. And then I went into the blacksmith shop, and I watched that guy. And the next weekend, I took the kids. Kids, this is so great. You're going to love it. They're dressed up. They got all these characters and stories, and they got the food, and they're making the popcorn, you know, little kettle corn. And you can do these demonstrations in the blacksmith shop. And we took the little kitten with us, and they couldn't really care much, you know. They did not enjoy. They was not seeing what I was seeing. They didn't have ears to hear. And so then the next weekend, I went again, and I sat in that blacksmith shop. And someone asked that blacksmith, they said, how do you know how hot to get that fire? He says, how do you know how to keep it going? And he says, well, that's, you know, he says, I have to stoke this fire and get it so hot and the pressure's on. And he says, when I heat that up, I have to be able to form it. But if I pull it out of there too early, it's going to cool off and it's going to shape without it being formed the way I need it. So I have to keep the pressure on. I have to keep the heat on so I can form it. But I can't take the heat off too much or it'll form prematurely. Sometimes we're crying out to God, God, it's so hot. The pressure is just too much. But we're being formed into his image, into his likeness. And if he was to take us out of that fire, which we pray sometimes, just take me out of this situation. Just save me. He doesn't promise to do that. He promised to walk with us through those things. And then they said, well, how do you know when it's done, when it's formed? And he said, oh, that's easy. He says, because I just sit there and I remove all the dross. And he says, when I can see my reflection in that. And you know what I noticed? The whole time I was there, all 3 weekends when I went, he was sitting there and he was watching it. And he was very close and he was observing that. And he would take that off and he would keep the heat on, you know. And then when I went back and I read Malachi 3:3, I think maybe there was something there that I missed. We look at the story of Job and all those trials and things that he endured, right? He didn't know what was going on, but do you know what was going on that we read later? That God was there the whole time and he was watching. Here's a phrase that I love. We just came out of a series on Job. Job, the devil did not intend only to make Job suffer. The devil intended to make Job sin in his suffering. God was there watching the whole time. And then when all that happened, after it was all said and done, Job said, No plans of yours can be thwarted. You had a, naked I came, naked I'll return. You know, you've blessed me, you give, you've taken away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's what God is asking of from him. He's given us all these things. We think we earned it. We think we deserve it. We think we can keep it or attain it. And when he takes those things away, it's for our benefit. It's for our sanctification process. And when I think back of Malachi 3:3, if you still got your hand there, and what I seen of that blacksmith all 3 weekends there, he was sitting there keeping the heat on, but he was watching the whole time until it was formed. When I read this again, it says, Malachi 3:3, it says, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier. God is on his throne, and he's watching you the whole time. He is with us. Amen? We think when we're in those lonely valley, dark times, God, where are you? Why won't you answer? Why won't you take me out of this? Why have you left me alone? I assure you, and I've known from experience now, that he's there. Maybe some of you have been put through those times and testings in your life, and you didn't know it before. But he is there, and he's watching. He knows what he's doing. That new song that's all over the radio, I love it. It says, look at the flowers and all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder. You know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? Have any of us ever worried? Why would I worry at all? My Bible instructor, I've been going through for several years now, says, you can worry all you want. It's like sitting in a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it's not going to take you anywhere. And I thought, oh man, all those times that I've worried, right? I don't have to worry. You know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all when you're faithful to supply everything I need? Now, who is our supplier? Who is our source? It's God, right? And he's there. And he's watching, he's waiting, he wants us to be patient, he wants us to be kind in those times, and he don't want us to sin in our suffering. He don't want us to complain like the Israelites did in Egyptian bondage. All those things that we know, but when that pressure's on, when the heat is on, he's forming us into his likeness, into his character, not only for our own benefit, but so we can benefit others. I wouldn't be here today telling you about the story of Elijah if I couldn't relate to it somehow in my life, right? You wouldn't be the person you are today if God didn't take you through those things that you've had to go through. And he might take you through something here in the future. And I want you to know he's going to be there with you, and it's for your good, it's for your glory, for his glory, but for your benefit. That's the wilderness. And if you're there today, let me encourage you, it's not forever. It's not forever. The waiting is the hardest part. We're not going to get there this morning. My time here is up, I do believe. I want to encourage you with that. Where God guides, he will provide. And we see the story there of Elijah and how he was led. God provided for him. And you know the story of Job? God provided for him. Not only did he take him through that, but what all did he give him back? More than he had before, right? And so let's keep our eyes on the prize there. We have the prize of the high calling, it says. We have a race to run here on earth, right? There's going to be rewards and losses in heaven. And maybe as God's sitting there and he's trying to refine us, sometimes we are so stubborn to do his will. We are so hard-hearted. We want it our way. We can't see it any other ways. Man, you're just asking for that breaking. You know, you're just asking for that breaking. You're asking for that cutting. But glory to God. He's going to get you through it. And I'm going to close this out in prayer here. Father God, I thank you for the message of Elijah. I thank you for the power that it had over my life. God, I just pray that it encourages those here today. If anyone's going through that, and if they're not, they probably know someone that is, as a coworker, a family member, maybe a church member. God, I just pray that you will equip them to realize that we go through these for your purpose that you give to us, not only for our own benefit, but for your glory, God. You won't share your glory with anyone, but you're going to equip us to help others. I pray, Lord, that today we are equipped as we go out from this church here today, and that we take you with us, Lord, as to be that church. Thank you for this time you've given us. Thank you for staying with us this whole time, for not leaving us nor forsaking us, just like your word says. Amen.